We're doing Jewish history.
Let's get the class on.
We've learned about Ataliah, the wicked mother of the king, who the daughter of Ahav, who went on to murder all the children, the whole family, and took the throne. And the only one that remained was the young child, Yoash, the son of Ahaziah. He was hidden in the Holy of Holies. The one who took care of him was the Kohen Gadol, Yoyada. And Yoyada was actually married to the daughter of the queen. So the families had meshed the priesthood and the kingship. And Yehoyada, behind his mother-in-law's back, was bringing up the young remnant, his nephew, Yehoash. Yehoash, when he's 7 years old, so they get the army together and they declare him king. And when Ataliah comes in, she realizes that behind her back they had left someone alive, and then she is executed. So Yoash is going to be king for 40 years. And we have a chilling story. If we open Divrei Hayamim Chronicles, he doesn't quote it here, but it's important that we visit the story. Okay, so Yoyada, remember Yehosheva or Yehoshavat took Yoash and took care of him. And she was his aunt, right? She was, she was married to the Kohen Gadol Yoyada. And she was the sister of the king. She was his aunt.
What's her name?
Yehosheva or Yehoshavat. She's and for 6 years they raise him until he's ready to be king at 7 years old. And then Yoyada takes the generals and he reveals the secret to them that someone's left from the house of David. And they appoint him as king, they declare him king, they do an inauguration party. She comes in, and when she comes in, they kill her. So now they take her out of the temple, they kill her, and he's been appointed king. So who saved his life? His uncle, the Kohen Gadol, Yoyada, and his aunt, Yosheva. And they appoint him to the throne. And he's a righteous king. It says they anointed him, everyone declared, long live the king. And he's king. And under the guidance of Yoyada, they again make a pact that the people are going to be faithful to the Torah, and they take down the house of idol worship, the Baal. There was a major church for Baal. They destroy it, and they take the priest who used to promote idol worship in that church. His name was Matan, and they execute him, and they start re-inaugurating and re-functioning the temple. Now the Beit HaMikdash is going to work. So things are working, and everything seems fine. The Navi even uses the term "Vayismechu kol am haaretz." Everyone was happy. Vayir shakata. There was quiet in the city, and we have a brand new king who's 7 years old, Yoash. But who's really pulling the strings? His uncle Yoyada. And so long as Yoyada is alive, Yoash does what he's supposed to do. So Yoash gathers in the priests and he says, let's strengthen the temple. Let's ensure that we fix up whatever needs fixing. So, fine. They do that. And as time goes on. So Yoyada is old. He's 130 years old, it says in Divrei Hayamim. And he passes away. And after he passes away, the elders of Judah come to the king, and they tell him, you know, all along we thought that you're so holy, you're a god. Because you were in the Holy of Holies for 6 years. No one could be in the Holy of Holies even for a day, you see. Anyone who tries entering there dies. And you were there for 6 years, you were above the Holy of Holies. And now that Yoyada passes away, Yoash agrees. And they start reintroducing idol worship. And different prophets come and warn, and the people aren't listening. And then Yoyada's son, remember Yoyada, his uncle, saved his life. And Yoyada's son, Zechariah, who is now the Kohen Gadol, he is the high priest. He is also the Navi. And it is Yom Kippur.
The one who wrote Sefer Zechariah?
And he stands there and he tells them, so says Hashem, why are you transgressing his mitzvot? You won't succeed. You've left Hashem and he will leave you. It is Yom Kippur. It is the Beit HaMikdash. He is the Kohen Gadol. He is the Navi. His father saved the life of the king. And the king orders, kill him. And on the spot, in the Beit HaMikdash, on Yom Kippur, they murder the Kohen Gadol Zechariah. About this, the Pasuk says in Eicha in Lamentations, when the people of Israel turn to God and ask, Im tochalna, can it be that they would eat? Nashim piriyam olelei tipuchim. Can it be that women would eat their own babies? The children that they were so careful to bring up? And Hashem answers, Im yeyareg. Can it be that there was murder? B'mikdash Hashem in Hashem's temple, Kohen v'Navi, the Kohen and the Prophet, you know how to ask me questions. Why don't you ask you questions? What type of temple did you lead? Hashem says, you're asking me, how did it come that there was such a famine in Jerusalem? And I'm asking you, says Hashem, how did it come that in the temple, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, who is the Navi, who happens to be the cousin, his father saved the life of the king. He's the one that gave him the throne. And the king orders him murdered on the spot, on Yom Kippur. And he is the famous Zechariah, the Kohen Gadol, that we have a tradition that his blood was bubbling on the floor. And even though they were washing, and every time they would wash, they'd close the dam. There was a stream that used to run through the Beit HaMikdash. There were all kinds of sacrifices offered. How did you wash the floor? They'd close the dam. The stream would overflow. The whole Beit HaMikdash, the courtyard, would fill with water, and then they'd wash it all into the stream, and it would all wash out, except for Zechariah's blood. Zechariah's blood miraculously stayed in its spot. There was a little puddle that wouldn't move and kept bubbling. And it kept bubbling. Decades passed and it wouldn't stop bubbling. A century passed and it didn't stop bubbling till the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. When the general Nebuzaradan, Rav Tabachim, the chief executioner, entered the temple, and as he's killing the people of Israel, he asks, what's that? So they tell him, well, we just brought a sacrifice, and the blood is bubbling. And Nebuzaradan says, really? That doesn't seem right. So he says, bring me some animals. They bring him a sheep, he slaughters a sheep, and he looks at the blood. And when you slaughter an animal, the blood does bubble. Meaning the blood that comes out of an animal after you slaughter it, initially it's hot, it lets out steam, and it bubbles. So he looks at the blood of the sheep next to that blood, and he says, no, it's not sheep's blood. And then he brings a goat, and then he brings a ram, and he goes animal by animal, and he says, he brings a cow. He goes after through all the animals, and he says, no, it's not that. What is it? What's going on here? You have to tell me. I'm going to kill people if you don't. He's been killing people. They believe him on that. He had trees filled with dead babies that he killed, Nebuzaradan, that he'd hang them on the branches of the trees. So Nebuzaradan tells them, tell me what's the truth behind this. And they tell him, well, there was once a priest who was also a prophet, and he warned us that our behavior would bring about destruction, and here you're fulfilling what he warned us, and he was murdered when he was warning, and his blood hasn't settled since then. And Nebuzaradan said, I'll cause his blood to settle. And then Nebuzaradan went and started killing the Kohanim. And he killed thousands and thousands of priests, thousands of Kohanim. And then he went on and he killed children. And then he went on and he killed sages. And then after he killed, it says, you'll see in the Lamentations of Tisha B'Av, coming up, after he killed tens of thousands, he turned to the blood and he said, Zechariah, Zechariah, I've killed the best of them. You want me to finish them off? You want there to be nothing left? And then the blood stopped bubbling.
Which is really weird, because it sounds like he became sympathetic all of a sudden.
He was Chozer B'Tshuva. Right. Says after that he converted.
He helped, right? Didn't he help someone get escaped? Or was a different general?
He said, if then he said, if they murdered one, right? One person was murdered, and look at how the blood was bubbling for all this time. Well, look at how many people I did. So Nebuzaradan said, what's going to be with me? So he turned around and left the forces of the Babylonian Empire, and he went and converted to Judaism. Yes.
Why did he get so self-righteous with he's going to avenge Zechariah's blood? He's a chief executioner. He doesn't care about anybody's blood.
Okay, so Thursday night, okay?
What's a general?
How is it possible somebody would put up with something like this? Would you even accept? Just kill on the spot.
Thursday night. It's a good question. Thursday night? Come Thursday night. We'll discuss it.
Bro, I have a question. I'm reading somewhere that this was also a punishment for David after the ruling show of a king giving by escaping and living there for 7 years. David is the one who actually had caused.
Slowly.
When David caused, I was reading that David caused the death of all the Kohanim, except one who escaped. And that is why later on there was punishment.
The Kohanim of Nov.
But he actually killed everyone, but only one managed to escape, and that was now the king, now the one that you're talking about.
Yeah, last night we said this was a punishment. That David was pre-warned and this was a fulfillment of punishment for David.
In relation to this much earlier?
This is, right now we're in the year 3056. And if we go back to David, that was 2854. So you're talking about 200 years after David. So with that, we've learned about Yoash and his 40-year reign. We've learned about Zechariah ben Yoyada, Zechariah the Kohen Gadol, who was murdered. And we'll have to pick up here. We're up to the year 3067. We'll pick up here, Bezat Shem, Thursday night.